Hello, it's Mark Tiley, and thank you for joining us for another podcast here on Manx Radio, taken from The Morning Show with me and supported by our friends at Shaw Isle of Man. Incidentally, although the Shaw shops are currently closed as we're going through this virus phase, their online offerings are very much there. You can still do your top-up. You can still look at the new phones, sort out your various accounts and things with Shaw Isle of Man. They've got a Facebook page as well, so they are still very much around to help you. Now then, let's get on with this particular podcast. And again, thank you for picking it up. And it's another guest. It's another MyTunes.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Another week of MyTunes on Manx Radio. And my guest all this week has been in and out of Manx Radio, I hope I get this right, twice or three times, Kerry Gascoigne.
Yes, twice, yes.
Twice.
I'm on my second stint.
It's really lovely to have you here. Let's go back, because you, just thinking, you came over here in 2004.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
But you were involved in radio way before, well, a bit before that.
Yes, I started in radio back in 1998 when I was 14, just before my 15th birthday, in Milton Keynes, and where I grew up. So there was a little community radio station, a cable radio station there called CRMK, Community Radio Milton Keynes. So I had a weekly show on there on a Saturday lunchtime, and I think I started that in the beginning of year nine, so year nine, year 10, year 11. When I was at year 11, I started working for BBC Northampton in my school holidays for my work experience and those sorts of things. Carried on with the CRMK on the Saturday. Then when I was 17, I moved over to the commercial station, which was in the same building. So I moved over to FM 103 Horizon. So Horizon Radio, as you know, it's well known in the radio community, and worked for what was then the GWR network.
Yeah, well, absolutely, it certainly was. Well, what an early year! What gave you the bug?
I don't know what first made me think, you know what, I want to be a radio presenter, because actually what I wanted to do before this was to be a fighter pilot and be in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really, really interested in that. I didn't want to be anything else in the Air Force. I wanted to be a fighter pilot. I wanted to be a vet for a long while, but vets in practice put me off that. that's not on the telly anymore, but, you know, it was for a long time. Yeah. And watching that put me off becoming a vet for good. But when I decided that I wanted to work in radio, at the time, the village that I lived in South Northants, just up the road, basically at the end of the road where we lived, Liz Kershaw lived in the village. And she'd just finished Radio 1 at the time, around about sort of like a couple of years of finishing at Radio 1 to have her kids, and she had two small children. So I knocked on her door. I didn't really know who she was. We knew who she was to kind of say hi to and those sorts of things. Didn't really know much about her. But I thought, I'll knock on her door anyway and say, hey, I live up the road and I want to work in radio. So that's what I did.
Goodness me, you plucky, plucky thing. Yeah.
So Liz really did help me out quite a lot.
I mean, she could have just said, no, go away. But she didn't.
But she didn't. No, she welcomed me in, basically. She was really, really helpful. And obviously connections to the Isle of Man as well through her brother, when her brother lived here. So I used to go to work with Liz as well. So at the time she was doing a weekend show with Bruno Brooks down in Newbury. So I used to go with her on a Saturday morning to get some work experience that way. So throughout sort of like my education, I was doing quite a lot in the radio industry, either, you know, voluntary or getting paid.
It's in the blood. It's in the veins. We'll talk a bit about, well, quite a lot about you coming over here and getting stuck into this little lot, Manx Radio, in the week. But let's have your first musical choice. Where are we going for this?
My first song is Michael Jackson and Man in the Mirror. I've picked this for a number of reasons. One is where I grew up in Milton Keynes was an estate called Thursden, which was next to Milton Keynes Bowl. And one of my sort of like earliest memories from sort of like a music concert point of view was Michael Jackson performing there in the late 80s, which I think was around about 87, 88. I did not go, obviously, because I was a child, but we could hear the concert very clearly from our back garden. So I have memories of being in the back garden with Michael Jackson singing live at Milton Keynes Bowl. And then this particular track as well carried on and followed me through my education, really, because when I was at secondary school, it was a very popular track within our form group. And we played it quite regularly in our morning registration as a bit like an inspirational anthem.
Oh, lovely. Let's have it now. Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror.
Wanna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them? Disregard a broken bottle top and a one man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message gonna be make the world a better place. Take a look at yourself and then make a change.
Make the world a better place. Take a look at yourself, then make a change. I'm stuck.
My Tunes on Manx Radio. And my guest all this week, if you were listening yesterday, you'd have heard me say she's been in Manx Radio not once, but twice. Not quite the George Ferguson record of 42 times. George, sorry about that.
I'm not that old.
No, exactly. I don't think anybody is. Anyway, George, sorry. Let's go back to you. Let's go into your arrival in Manx Radio round one. How did that happen? And when was it?
Right. Oh, you're challenging me now. 2005.
Okay.
So I moved to the island in 2004 to work at another radio station, which I don't know whether we can name or
we
not.
We must name
them. Okay, we will do. I worked at Energy FM. The third station wasn't around at that point,
so it was just the two.
Yeah, yeah. So I originally came over to present the afternoon show on Energy, and I stayed there for a year. I left there, and at first I was temping at Manx Radio. And then I ended up working here permanently in the sales team downstairs doing sponsorship and promotions, which was the sort of full-time job that was bolted onto my on-air roles in all the other radio stations I worked at. So I did something similar at Energy before. And then in the UK, when I was at Classic Gold, I was on air and I was also in marketing as well for them. So I was here on a permanent basis, full-time basis, obviously downstairs doing sponsorship and promotions. And then at the weekends, I used to present the Radio Cafe.
Ah, right. Now, at some stage during that first incarnation of you being here, you went to Australia.
Yes, I did. And there's a bit of a story
to this.
And it does depend on who you speak to in this building. However, myself and Alex Brindley, one day when we were chatting, you know, it was like, we'd quite like to go to Australia. And John Marston was involved in this as well.
Sales director.
Yes, of course. Yes. We've got to give him a little mention. So Qantas had already been in touch with the station to say we want to do some sort of radio advertising with the station. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if actually, instead of just having those box standard adverts, that we actually package this up and make it into something a bit more creative. So we presented the idea to Qantas that actually we would take the breakfast show to Melbourne for 2 weeks and do a broadcast from there, all expenses paid on Qantas. And amazingly, they said yes.
Wonderful.
So I actually spent a good 6 months of my time here coming into work early to be able to liaise with the tourism board in Melbourne to arrange our 2 weeks down under.
There has never been a direct flight from the Isle of Man to Australia. You had to go via London or Manchester, was it? Where was the hookup?
We went via London. We all know how Alex Brindley loves trains. Now, my ideal transfer would have been to get off at Gatwick and get on a bus to Heathrow. That would make sense. That would be the sensible thing to do when you're travelling with 15 cases of luggage. Not when you travel with Alex Brindley. We had to get the train into Victoria, then onto the underground.
Yeah.
I think we'd done two trains on the underground during rush hour, at which point I was ready to throttle Alex Brindley, and I'm sure he will. Well, I'll put it this way, he now knows the look.
Can you give us a quick... that's scary. I think we better move on to the next bit of music. Give us the next bit of music, Kerry. Come on.
Right. The next song then is Spice Girls and Stop. And I think the Spice Girls, for me, being a teenager during the 90s and female as well, they were a massive sort of like girl group. And at the end of term at school, every single end of term assembly, and my form group, we were actually quite creative, really, thinking about it. We always performed a Spice Girls track. So that's why I've picked Spice Girls and Stop.
Don't you know? Why can't you see?
Slow it down.
time for another My Tunes segment. Good words segment on Manx Radio here on this show with my guest all this week, Kerry Gascoigne.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. Wow. Australia yesterday. We could have talked about that for ages, especially the bit about you throttling Alex Brindley. Anyway, we will move on. We will move on because I want to talk about the Thin Blue Line. When you decided, I'm doing this radio thing, that's enough of that. I'm now going to be in the police force.
Yes. Now, I know it's a really strange sort of, to go from sort of like the radio broadcasting down to you know, switching your career over to the police. But ironically, I do know of a few, and they're female presenters within the old GWR network that had done just that.
Oh.
Not necessarily to be police officers, but they'd joined as civilians to be press officers. But for me, I had considered the police when I was a lot younger. And obviously I had...
As well as being a fighter pilot, of course.
Yes, and I think maybe it's more sort of like the military kind of regimented structure that maybe appealed to me a bit. And I hadn't put all my eggs in one basket. Someone said to me once, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure you have, you know, qualifications and experience in other areas. But it got to that point in my life where stuff had happened in my personal life, which I thought, I need some answers in this. I need to know why things get done in a certain way. And, you know, maybe I can join the police and I can help people like, you know, people had helped me. So I took the decision to join the police over here on the Isle of Man. It was back in 2007. So it was the first year which they started to train and recruit on the island. I didn't honestly think I'd get in first time, mainly due to my fitness level. But obviously it was okay because I did. And one of the best bits of advice that was given to me is my brother, who's also in the police, but he joined after me, but had a lot of friends in the police at the time, said to me, when you get your fitness test, find out who is, you know, into sport, whether they're playing rugby, whether they're playing football, and just, you know, pace yourself on them because they will be used to training to a bleep test or to a higher standard. So that's what I did. Yeah. I almost kind of interviewed all the guys, and I say guys because when I joined there wasn't many females in the police, so questioning the line of people to find out who am I going to stand next to and make sure I can pace myself against them to get up to it was 7.5 on the bleep test when I joined. I think it's lowered quite a bit now, but to me that was my biggest stress.
A bleep test is when you have to run a certain length and then back and do things
within the bleeps,
like a
shuttle run. And actually what I used to do, because I was a youth worker at the time, is I used to practice with the kids.
Brilliant. Why not use their fitness as a help? Tell me, Isle of Man, being a police person in the Isle of Man, you must have to come up against people you know terribly well. Mm. It's a small community, and you think, I know this person. I'm going to have to either arrest them or certainly suggest that they don't do that anymore. Was that ever tricky?
I think it all boils down to how you treat people, to be honest. People think that sometimes, you know, let's put in the sort of the bracket, the offender, the criminal, are horrible people. They're not always horrible people, and at the end of the day they are human beings, and if you treat them correctly, it doesn't matter if you meet them in Tesco's in the queue, because if they know you've treated them with sort of dignity and respect, there's no issue there. You're always going to get people that believe that, you know, they should get away with what they're...
Because they know you, come on, Kerry, it's only me.
You're going to get those sort of people. But deep down, they know what the law is. Yeah. And you're there to enforce the law. You don't make the law. You're there to enforce it. And if they've broken the law, the reasonable adult should take responsibility for that. And as long as you treat them correctly, and I think that's the most important thing, especially within a small community, if you treat the person you're dealing with correctly, with dignity and respect, it won't be an issue in the future.
Well, brilliant. We'll talk a little bit more about the police tomorrow, but right now let's have your third piece of music.
Quite difficult here because some of the tracks I wanted to pick were quite possibly not on the Manx Radio playlist, but one track I really do love, which is out of sort of character for me, is Otis Redding and Sitting in the Dock of the Bay, because it reminds me of Bejeeba Harbour in Malta.
Ah.
And this is where we used to go a lot as kids on holiday. And yes, it's just a song that brings back those memories.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes,
watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. This 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Thursday has come around really quickly this week on MyTunes. My guest, Kerry Gascoigne. Thank you for doing this. It's lovely to...
You're welcome.
That's the longest we've ever had a conversation. Do you know that?
I think we did have a longer conversation back in about 2007.
Maybe.
In a pub in Peel.
Yes, there was that.
Yes, yeah. But there's Facebook photos to prove it.
Since then, this is the longest conversation we've had face to face. Before we move on to now, and because I know there's lots of things going on in your life, and very exciting stuff. The police, did it just run its course, or did you think, right, I want to do something else?
I left the police in 2015 when I was pregnant with my third son. I kind of got to a stage in the police where I knew that it wasn't feasible for me to go back with three children because of the setup of the organisation and what was going on within the organisation at the time. You know, it was not going to work, me trying to go back to work with three small children and my husband being in the job as well. So it was kind of time to call it, really.
That was a good length of time, though.
Yes.
Time. Tell us about retraining recently. I know you just finished something. Tell us about that.
It wasn't so much retraining, it was more trying to get a qualification for what I've done for years. So back when I had my first full-time radio job, I was, I think, 18. It was as soon as I finished my A-levels and I started to do marketing full-time for Classic Gold along with the on-air stuff and sort of followed that through whenever I've worked at a radio station. But I didn't have any marketing qualifications. I have a diploma in journalism, which I did back in the day when I was at Classic Gold, but no actual proper marketing qualifications. So last September, I thought I'm going to get something to prove that I can actually do what I'm saying that I can do. So I started to do my Chartered Institute of Marketing. Last year, I did my level 4 and I passed all that. And I'm currently working on my level 6 with Heather Blakely, who is a fantastic tutor down at the Marketing Partnership. I've recently taken an exam and I hate exams, and I am so glad that that's probably my last exam in my life.
I can't imagine having to take an exam again. They scared me to death first time round. That was about 50 years ago.
And this was a handwritten exam. I mean, who handwrites anymore?
Oof, scary.
But yeah, so I took the exam for the level 6 just before Christmas and I passed that. So, you know, I'm really pleased with that. Just about to submit my second assignment for level 6. And then obviously a bit up in the air at the moment with the whole coronavirus, with what's going to happen with next term. Maybe I'll finish it next term. If not, it will be for this September term.
Well, good luck, because it's wonderful to revisit something and then to sort of put a rubber stamp on it. It's obviously in the blood. We talked right at the beginning about radio running through your veins. Does it still give you a little bit of, ooh, I'm on the radio, I'm doing a show? Do you still love that?
Yes, and I don't get nervous as such. A lot of people say to me, oh, do you not panic about what to say and when to say it? And or do you not worry if the computer, you know, totally crashes? I don't panic about what to say. I don't panic if something goes wrong. Obviously, it's always a little bit worrying if the computer goes and you haven't got that CD nearby.
Yeah.
But, you know, things happen. Things go wrong. We're human beings. And, you know, computers do stop sometimes. But yeah, I've still got that passion for radio. And I've got that passion as well for great community radio and getting out there to sort of, you know, right into the heart of the community, which I think Manx Radio does so well.
Yeah, I agree. We are a community glue, I always say here. We bring people together, we stick them together and hopefully look after them. It's been lovely, Kerry. Let's have your final bit of music.
Well, my final song, again, I had quite a few choices here, but I've gone with the theme song to The Greatest Showman, and it's This Is Me. And I just think it's a great song because, for me, it represents sort of like standing up for what you feel is right, which I think I do quite often, and especially with being sort of a Michael Commissioner as well. I'm not afraid to speak the truth, even though sometimes that might upset someone, but I, you know, have got a bit of a reputation for being blunt.
We haven't had a chance to talk about the Michael Commissioner's business, but anyway.
Yes, but I think, yeah, it's a great song to show sort of basically standing up for what's right.
I reckon if you weren't doing what you're doing, you'd be a heck of a good lawyer as well.
Well, that was also on my list.
Kerry, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send the blood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be.
this is me.
This is me from The Greatest Showman. Massive piece of music. And thank you to Kerry Gascoigne for choosing it. And at the time when we transmitted that, she was actually with the family in isolation because the kids are a bit unwell and you know what it's like. You've got to all stay put. But I hope by the time you get to hear this, Kerry, you're all back to normal. That's my hope anyway. So thinking of you, thinking of anyone else listening to this who can't get out and about at the moment, keep coming back to manxradio.com. Plenty of podcasts there covering all sorts of things. And, you know, listen whenever you like. I'm Mark Tiley. Look forward to your company on The Morning Show again very soon.